From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Thy Will Be Done, Submission to the Will of Our Heavenly Father, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Today's devotional is entitled, Never Alone. The text is Isaiah 62 and verse 4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken. Forsaken is a dreary word. It sounds like a knell. It is the record of sharpest sorrows and the prophecy of direst ills. An abyss of misery yawns in that word, forsaken. Forsaken by one who pledged his honor. Forsaken by a friend so long tried and trusted. Forsaken by a dear relative. Forsaken by father and mother. Forsaken by all. This is woe indeed. And yet it may be patiently borne, if the Lord will take us up. But what must it be to feel forsaken of God? Think of that bitterest of cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Have we ever in any degree tasted the wormwood and gall of forsaken in that sense? If so, let us beseech our Lord to save us from any repetition of so unspeakable a sorrow. Oh, that such darkness may never return. Men in malice said of a saint, God hath forsaken him, persecute and take him. But it was always false. The Lord's loving favor shall compel our cruel foes to eat their own words, or at least to hold their tongues. The reverse of all this is that superlative word, Hephzibah, the Lord delighteth in thee. This turns weeping into dancing. Let those who dreamed that they were forsaken hear the Lord say, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Tears and ending flow when my
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his studies on the subject of prayer, Dr. Cairns is examining the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Thy Will Be Done. Here the believer is submitting himself to God's sovereign purpose. Admittedly, this is an area that tries the faith of God's people, for circumstances often tell us that God is dealing harshly with us. Yet it is here that we must remind ourselves that our Heavenly Father loves us and is working all things for our good. However, as Dr. Cairns will point out today, it is possible to say, Thy will be done, in such a way as to manifest bitterness and unbelief. Now to continue this message, Thy will be done, submission to the will of our Heavenly Father. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Beyond the simplest ABCs, God's providence is often past understanding. There are many, many, many things in which we must confess our ignorance. And the question, why, unless it is specifically answered by Scripture, often leaves us baffled. When people ask, why does God allow this? Why does God permit the other? Why am I enduring this? Why do the wicked prosper? Why? They're usually left baffled. and without an explicit answer. We must remember that we see only a little fragment of reality. The Lord sees it all. We are bound by time and by sense, while He is not. Faith will say that when we are able to view things from the perspective of eternity, then we will view them differently. We will evaluate them differently. Meanwhile, we may simply cry, "Thy will be done." Submission to God's will as the wise and loving purpose of our Father in heaven. And especially when we don't understand what He is doing or why He's doing it. It's one of the ironies of studying the Sermon on the Mount and the Lord's Prayer, especially this portion of the Lord's Prayer. It's one of the ironies in studying it and looking up what various other commentators and preachers have had to say, that some of the most useful treatments come from some of the most unexpected places. For example, of the modern treatments of this portion, I must confess I've been surprised to find that some of the deepest and best insights come from a man whom I don't even mention by name, for the simple reason that I would not encourage people, unless they're very capable of discerning, I would not encourage people to read him because he's very suspect in many, many of his theological views. A modern Scottish preacher, suspect in many ways, but who especially in this passage, I believe, has penetrated to things that Christians need to think about. And in a very simple way, he draws attention to this, that when you say, "Thy will be done," to put it colloquially, a lot depends on the tone of voice in which you say it. There are various ways in which you may say that. You may say to God, "Thy will be done," and say it in bitter resentment. How often that happens, that there is building up in the life even of a professing Christian a bitter resentment at what he looks upon as an imposition of the Lord upon him. Very often young people reach this stage in their folly, and it's a good thing that God, knowing their freedom, deals kindly and graciously and long-sufferingly with them. But very often young people reacting to the impetus or the stimulus of the moment, they're held back by the law of God or by the profession of their faith, that they feel a great resentment as if they were missing something. And they may say with words, "Thy will be done," but there is a build-up of this bitterness in their heart. The preacher to whom I refer gives the classic example of the great composer Beethoven. You think of a musician, a man whose life was music. Is there anything that would be more trying than the affliction of deafness? It was said that when Beethoven was found dead, his fists were clenched as if he would strike God, and his lips were drawn back in a snarl as if he would spit defiance, the defiance of his bitterness to God. We cannot read the thoughts of the man in death. Those were just impressions of those who saw the corpse. But certainly there are many who say the words, "Thy will be done." And what they mean is really, "I would that your will was changed." Because behind the words, there's a bitterness of soul. You may say, "Thy will be done," in hopeless defeat. There's a man in history known as Julian the Apostate, because having professed Christianity, he apostatized and went back to paganism. And when he became emperor of the Roman Empire, he sought to reverse the decisions of Constantine and bring the empire back to paganism. When Julian the Apostate lay dying, bleeding to death on the battlefield, it is said that he reached into a pool of his own blood and tossed it to heaven and said, "You have conquered, O man of Galilee." Oh, he accepted the inevitable. There was nothing else he could do. But that's not the spirit of the Lord's Prayer when Jesus said, "Pray, thy will be done." This mere hopeless defeat, this acceptance of the inevitable, is something cold and lifeless. It is a hopeless, joyless surrender. And it leaves your life pointless and aimless and useless. When you say, "Thy will be done," you may say it in the tone of loveless acquiescence. We have all known cases where people go along with the will of another just because they felt they couldn't fight it. There's the story of a famous philosopher who decided it was time to go for a walk. The weather was right, the temperature was right, the countryside looked good. He wanted to take a walk, and so he wanted his young daughter to go with him. But she really had no interest in going for a walk. And he kept on chivying her and giving her reasons and all the rest of it until finally she went. And he felt they had a very enjoyable time, and so when they arrived back home, he said to her, "Now aren't you glad you decided to come?" She said, "I didn't decide. You were just bigger." And I feel, you know, that that's all too often the way professing Christians react to the sovereign dispositions of God in their lives and in their affairs. The idea, "Well, I have to acquiesce because God is God. God is bigger. God is all powerful. I have to accept it. What else can I do?" And it's just loveless acquiescence. But that's not what the Lord Jesus had in mind when he said, "Pray, thy will be done." No, the proper way to pray this prayer is in trusting submission. And that's why we read in the book of Job, "Was any man more tried, more afflicted than Job?" We read in chapter 1 of Job of the tremendous catalogue of disasters that befell him one after another. Can you imagine? Try to put this beyond the page of Scripture. Lift it beyond the realm of literature. Bring it into your own life and experience. Try to put yourself in Job's shoes. He's a real flesh and blood character. And he finds, first, that all his possessions are destroyed. Then he finds all his children are wiped out in a single day. From being one of the richest men, he becomes one of the poorest. From being the father of a united and happy family, he now finds himself bereft of all his children. Heartbroken, wearied in mind and body, and under the attack of the devil, not knowing what is happening. Why God is allowing these things. He said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have read in chapter 2 how when his own body became the target of satanic attack, when he was losing health and he was living in great pain. I don't know if you paid attention, but from head to toe he was afflicted with boils. It's easy to read that. The nearest I came to seeing that was in my younger brother when he was just a very young fellow, not even a fellow, just a hand higher than a grasshopper, as children do. They get into all sorts of altercations, and he and a little girl had an argument, and she decided to fight, and being obviously as my brother, a young gentleman, he wouldn't fight her. You don't fight girls. They would beat you. He didn't fight. But she did. And she had been in all sorts of mess and muck, and her fingernails were in all sorts. I don't know what they'd been doing, digging in the dirt beforehand. But she just swept at him, and her long nails just gouged a deep wound right around his neck. And for the next few months, right around that wound, I think it came to 17 boils. And if ever you saw a young fellow suffer, you saw it in Bert. What must it have been for Job to be afflicted from head to toe? He was in utter physical agony. He was in utter misery. And with all that, he had Satan pounding away at his mind. And then, to make matters even worse, he had his wife come along and say, "Curse God." Or literally, "Say goodbye to God and lie down and die." Job answered, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of the Lord? And shall we not receive evil?" Evil meaning calamity here. Can we not take it when things are going bad? Then the Lord adds something very, very significant. In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. When you think of what David said in Psalm 116, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." There's the testimony of faith. It's lovely when a Christian gives the testimony of faith, when what you believe comes bubbling out of your mouth. But then he went on to say, "I was greatly afflicted, and I said in my haste." My, that's not the testimony of faith. Now we come to the testimony of frustration. And David, mighty man of God though he was, said, "When I was afflicted, I was guilty, not of speaking in faith, but speaking in frustration." Job, afflicted much more, did not sin with his lips. Why? From his heart. In a trusting submission, he was honestly saying, "Thy will be done." That's what the Lord Jesus is teaching us in the text.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.